Let's go into the word of God this morning. Prophetically, this month is the month of Jubilee. The month of Jubilee. And Jubilee signifies freedom. And God, I believe, this month will grant you complete freedom in Jesus' name. So this morning, I have a question to ask. What do you see? That's my question. Or that's the title of my message. What do you see? John chapter 8, from verse 1 to 11. What do you see? Verse 1 of John chapter 8, the Bible says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Notice Jesus preaches, teaching, sitting down. And the people stand up. They didn't say, but Jesus will sit down. They will stand up. So the next one day that I come and sit, you just stand up as we preach. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, verse 4, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? That's my message, right? What do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. Verse 7. So when they continue asking, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went one by one, beginning from the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What do you say? In this passage of scripture, this question, what do you say, was presented to different kind of people. And just every time you read scripture, you need to understand the actors and then ask yourself, who am I in this story? Because when you ask yourself, you can now know your answer in that story. Because in this story, everybody was answering the question, what do you say? Even the people that first said, what do you say to Jesus? They also eventually had to answer that question, what do you say? And it was about a question about sin. Everybody in the every actor in that script, they answered the question about sin. And I'm saying this morning, you too need to answer the question about sin. Because sometimes, especially with church, we sometimes don't call sin, we don't mention the name sin. And there are different reasons why those kind of things happen. I'll probably get to some of them today. But there is a, we all need to answer the question of sin. Because sin is not something we can just ignore. Even God did not ignore sin. God, as powerful as God is, when sin was introduced into creation, God had to answer the question of sin. And the way he answered was not just that, forget about it, don't do anything about it. No, God has to answer the question of sin. In fact, the whole essence of Jesus was an answer to the question of sin. And so, sin is a big deal. I know that sometimes in the bid to talk about grace, many times people make sin look like sin is not a big deal. It's still a big deal, though. It's a big deal. Because if sin made God to die, then it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So we cannot play church. We can't say, well, we are not in the New Testament, so sin doesn't... Calm down. What are you saying about sin? What do you say about sin? Now, in this story, we see different actors in the story. In fact, there is one actor that we never saw, but he was there. The man that was with the woman. Because they caught this woman in adultery, and this is a team sport. Hello? You know, well, at least in that time. I know now people are doing solo runs. Do it yourself. But then, they were not. It was not do it yourself. Where is the man? Where is the man? It's a conversation for another day. Because of time, I won't go there. But let's start with this woman. What do you say? There was a woman in this story, and this woman almost had no words. She almost had no say. And what she was accused of, she was already condemned. I believe we are all like this woman, or we all started like this woman. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 3, 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all been condemned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. If you are listening to me today, you are an ex-sinner. You are an ex-convict. I don't care if you started in church, you were born in church, you were named in church, but scriptures makes us to understand that in iniquity did my mother conceive me. So nobody was born a saint. We were all made a saint. Even Jesus, well, Jesus was born a saint, but even Jesus still suffered for sin. Okay? So this woman is our first actor, and I'm saying you are like this woman, or you were like this woman. You were condemned. But you see, the challenge is that sometimes people have changed their address, but the devil still wants to make them to be condemned. They still live in the fullness of guilt. What do you say? And sometimes when they come in the gathering of the temple, because this was the temple, sir. It was church. This thing was not playing out in the marketplace. This thing was not playing out in some family gathering. This was church. And in church, you would have thought that they will bring the condemned and they will say, go and sin no more. But they brought the condemned and wanted to leave them condemned. I'm saying to you this morning, if you were like this woman, you should not stay condemned. I'm saying to you that if you come condemned to God, God does not want you to remain condemned. And condemnation is not just a function of the fact that he told you to go and sin no more. You have to also accept it. You have to also receive it. There are so many people that have been freed and delivered from a particular sin. They are still living in condemnation. They are still living under the yoke of that thing. They are still living as if, oh, that thing is still valid. No. If you told him you are sorry, he received that sorry and he's done with it. He has pushed it into forgetfulness. So you don't have to stand condemned. So if you are like that woman, you are listening to me this morning. God is saying to you that you came condemned, but you don't have to remain condemned. The way into this kingdom is that we come one way, but we are not permitted to remain that way. Even if it is by our choice to be thinking like that, it is wrong. God says, don't do that. So this woman came into the midst, like scripture says, and she was condemned. When you are condemned, don't pretend or explain the condemnation. Accept it and do something about it. Give a response. What do you say when you are condemned? When you are this woman, you cannot just pretend as if there is no condemnation. You cannot pretend that there is no issue, because there are different responses that people have in the church. There is a response that I know that I'm condemned and I feel like always condemned. There's another response that we know that we are condemned and we begin to pretend as if it doesn't matter. Do you know in 2025, there are so many people that come to lift up holy hands, but those hands are not holy. You know what you did? You know what you did yesterday, and you are pretending that everything is all right. No, sir. When you come to the house of God, understand that there is somebody that knows everything. The pastor may not know everything, but there's somebody that knows everything. To pretend before Jesus is not your advantage. To pretend before Jesus is not your advantage. To explain, excuse me, we are all men. You know that this is 2025. No, everybody does it. You know, that's another response that people, everybody does it. There's nobody that is perfect now. Is there anybody that is perfect? Tell me anybody that is perfect. There is nobody that is perfect, but there are people walking towards perfection. Everybody is not falling. Everybody is not sleeping around. Everybody is not watching what they should not watch. Everybody is not saying what they know is not true and making up things. Everybody is not doing it. If you pretend, you will not get out of it. The reason why you still find people in the temple still condemned because of their action is because they are pretending. You came as if nothing is wrong. There are too many people, they cover what is wrong under many cloaks. They say things like, I have tried to lift it, but I don't even feel bad again. It's as if God understands. And really, God does understand. In this story, we saw that Jesus understood. But his understanding does not mean that don't give a response. You don't have to stay condemned. You don't have to continue in the action that makes bring condemnation. Because if you are condemned because you acted in a particular way, to continue in that action, you are continuing in condemnation. And Jesus is saying this morning, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? What do you have to say to this sin matter? What do you have to say to this thing you are doing every day? What do you have to say to the fact that your Christian life, your accepting Christ has not affected your actions? Excuse me, I have an issue with the fact that you have said you have given your life to Jesus, and the life you gave to Jesus, Jesus is not controlling that life. I have a problem with that. So many people have given their life to Jesus, but Jesus has no say over their life. Because where they go, Jesus does not command it. What they do, Jesus does not command. Jesus cannot tell them, don't talk, don't talk. He can't tell them. They say anything they want to say. They do anything they want to do. They say things like, God has forgiven me. I think one day I should talk about the judgment of God. And I will get there. Because there's a generation that needs to know that God is not only Father, he's also judge. Many people have met Father God. Many people have met friend God. But all people, we meet God, judge. There are people today that say, forget about all this nonsense that people are talking about. Live your life. These people are talking about behavior modification. Some people are even saying that from the pulpit. But sir, those people and other people will soon meet the judge. And the day we meet the judge, some people will wish they can go back and rewrite it. But sometimes when you get to the front of the judge, it's too late. You can't go and edit the actions. You can't go and change things. So this morning, God is asking that woman, who is probably a man in this place, who is probably a woman in this place, I say, you have been condemned because of your action, but have you done anything about the action so far? The actions can't condemn you if you allow me to do something about it. But can you stop pretending? Can you stop pretending? Pretense is one of the things that is massive in the Church of Jesus today. We are hypocrites. What is hypocrite? A hypocrite is a double-faced person. You are white and black. You have two faces. Hypocrite. Two faces. You have a mask that you wear to church. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. We hear sweet word. We hear what we want to hear. We see the behavior we want to see in church. But excuse me, who are you outside of all this place? Because condemnation is already going to come by actions. In John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And he was like, he that believes is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already. Now, when you look at that statement, it means that when you believe in Jesus, condemnation leaves. But you see, believing affects action. If I believe in Jesus in my heart, it affects my action. In fact, if my actions don't change because of my belief, I will question the belief. So that means he that believes and his action is consistent with his beliefs, we believe that he believes. We know that he believes. He that believes and his action is inconsistent with his belief, we don't know that he believes. The action is condemning him. Do you know that God, standing as the judge, will never condemn anybody to hell? Let me land. I know I'm like, so no hell. No, there's hell. Just wait. It is their actions that will condemn them. It is their actions. It is how they conform to the word. It is how they conform to the word as the written word, to the word as the person word to Jesus. It's their actions. Nobody is going to go to hell because of sin itself. It's your response. It's what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? And so this morning, God is speaking to that woman. I say, what do you say to sin? What do you say to sin? Are you feeling condemned? You don't have to feel condemned. You can move out of condemnation. Now, there's another actor here. And these actors are the accusers. They are in church. Oh, they are in the temple. They went to find this woman. And they didn't find the man. And they found the woman in the very act. I don't know how they did that. How action was happening, an actor, an actress were not taken. And there was actor and actress. And somehow, the action that was happening, they were able to take away the actress alone. And the actor somehow just fizzled out. They are the accusers. They are in the church. I'm asking you, what do you say to sin? Some of us, what we are saying to sin is that we have maintained the place of accusers. You are the senior brothers. You feel you are not doing what they are doing, but you are, the reason you are correcting it because in that regard, you are good. But there are other regards that you are not good. You will leave the one that you, but you know how to, excuse me, why are you, we don't like the way you talk, but what about the way you also act in some other ways? The accusers, they are in the church. And that ministry, sir, I ask you and I beg you, don't join that ministry. Because that is the ministry that the devil is in today. The job the devil does is to accuse the brethren. So if you do that ministry, you have joined the devil. Because in that ministry, what you do is gossip instead of worship. You replace worship with gossips. You accuse. Excuse me, pastor. So, pastor, are you saying that if somebody is wrong, nobody should point it out? No, we can point it out. There's difference between pointing it out and accusing. Because in accusation, you are not seeking to allow God to be glorified per se. What you are seeking is to settle a score. You are either settling the score with the accused or you are settling the score with the person that you are accusing them to. In this case, they wanted to settle a score with Jesus. It was not about the problem. It was not about the action. It was about Jesus. The Bible said they were testing him to see. I can tell you that for free. That sometimes when some people say, hey, this is not happening. This one, as a pastor, I know that it's not about the problem. The problem is about me. So sometimes I listen to the problem and I say, I've heard. And I will do nothing about it. Because the problem is not about the problem. The problem is about the person. And there are accusers. And let me say this to you too, in just your own ordinary life. Every time you have somebody in the ministry of accusation, be careful to respond. Because sometimes, no response is your best response. Be careful. Because some of you, I have to respond so that they will not think I support it. Yeah, there are many things I've seen in church. Some people, the pastor don't know, but I know. So that I will act, so that they will think I don't, you know, pastor, you need to make a statement. You need to make a stand. Sometimes the stand is to stand with Jesus and keep writing in the floor. The Bible said Jesus pretended as if he didn't hear. There are many things I pretend I will just walk away. Because if you fight every battle, you will not live to fight the real battle. There are too many of you, you are fighting every battle. Every smoothie. They say this one on social media. They say this one about me. There are many things I have heard about myself. And I know it's a lie. But I've never defended it. Whether on pulpit. You know, sometimes when I hold this mic, I can come and just preach it one way and just defend myself. It's not worth it. Because you see that defense, you will still be wrong. You will still be wrong. Some of you are trying to prove a point to somebody you cannot put a point to. Don't bother proving the point. If somebody sits in the place of the accuser, he is not looking for reasons. He wants to catch persons. And anybody that wants to catch you, sometimes you cannot run away from them. So let them do what they are doing. Leave them to their ministry. Focus on your own ministry. Who are you and what do you have to say to this matter of sin? Are you the woman that is condemned or are you the accuser? Don't let the devil borrow your boat. Don't let the devil borrow your boat. Because the devil is always looking for employees. Who is going to help me accuse people? Who is going to do my job in this church? Who is going to do my job in that department that is going to accuse people? And sir, can people be wrong? Yes! But sir, to now maintain and sit in the office of an accuser, you are also wrong. An action can be wrong. The response to the action can even be worse than the action itself. Sir, in this case, I believe the response to this woman by the accuser is worse than the action of the woman. Now, sin is sin. Oh, don't get me wrong. That was a bad thing she did. But the response, and which we see often and often in the church, because these are God's people, temple. It was in the temple that this was happening. And they were accusing this woman. But the accusation was not about the woman. It was about Jesus. So they were accusing her. They were finding faults. They were gossiping instead of worshiping. What are you doing to your brother? What are you doing to your sister? Are you accusing them? That next gist that you're going to have after church service, is that an accusation? Is that going to edify that person? Is that going to help them? The church, the body of Christ, must not be the soldier that fights itself from within. We may not be destroyed from outside, but we will certainly be destroyed from inside. It is an error to partner with the enemy to destroy your own brother. Because let me tell you the truth. No matter how different I am from you, we are still brothers. No matter how different she is from me, we are still sisters. And we are better together than against one another. Because we have a common foe. What that common foe is trying to do with some of this bickering and chat, is not about the other person. It's about himself. The devil still wants to win. And so when we help him do the job, he's not going to come and say, thank you for helping me do my job. Once you finish doing this job, he will now deal with you. You that did the job too, he will deal with you. So we are not all safe. So since we are not all safe, let's not help him to do his ministry. Oh, can the woman who is caught in adultery be dealt with or taken care of in another way? Yes, but not in the way that we point to the problem so that we don't bring redemption. What is the difference between accusers and people that help to fix the problem? Because two of them will have to mention it. I usually believe, and I still believe that now, if you know something that is wrong and you keep quiet about it, you are also wrong. Because you can either condemn, your response can be condemnation, but your response can also be condoning. If you condone sin, you are also party to the sin. You shouldn't condone sin. But you should not maintain the place of an accuser. What is the difference between somebody that condones and somebody that condemns or wants to bring down, and somebody that is mentioning it not to condone it but to mention it out? You know the difference? Redemption. When I bring up the matter, when the matter is up for the sake of redemption, and if you are on the path of redemption, it is not the first time that thing happens that you mention it. It's usually the nth time, after you have prayed, after sometimes you have even met the person one-on-one. Do you know there are many things we can deal with if we go and meet people one-on-one? Everybody, no matter how boisterous we are, we can be rational when we are calm. You know, just go and meet the brother. Don't you think that we can speak differently than you spoke today? You will appreciate it. Don't you think you can be kinder with your words? Don't you think that action was a little too much? You know? Or I think we can do it this way. That's the way. You are redemptive in your action. You are not condemning in your action. Accusers want to condemn. It's almost like, kill him now. You remember they brought him to Jesus to say, final, stoner, die. You are an accuser if you don't offer redemption. And let me say this to you. If you're a child of God, if you have received redemption, your job is to offer redemption. You should give other people redemption. Some people won't get it the first time. Some people will get it. I shudder and I'm in awe of God when I see some people who didn't get it the first time, but seemingly I've gotten it now. I'm just in awe of God. Because sometimes when those people now get it, they will get it better than the people that got it the first time, so to say. There is something about if you are recovered. There is something about you have been there before. You have been a bad guy before. And somehow God brings you in. There's something about you. You have a texture. You understand humanity in a little bit different from somebody that feels like nothing. He hasn't done anything. Do you think the prodigal son, the one that, because I believe every son in that story is prodigal, the one that went out, don't you think that guy will understand the father's love differently than the one that didn't go out? Because some people are like, that bad father, why will you, somebody came to meet you, give me your inheritance while you are alive. Inheritance is not for people when they are dead. You are alive. You are a bad father. You are this kind of father that we see in Chicago. Just before you condemn the father, what the father did was give that boy a life lesson we never forget. There are sometimes the best way to teach people is to let them go through it. There are some people, if you like, go and say, let them go through it. Even as pastor, one of the things I've learned is sometimes let them go through it. Because sometimes if you are quickly advising, they won't hear. Yeah, the love, the way it's shaking now. You know this thing, there's nothing there. Say, okay. Have you prayed about it? Yes, I prayed about it. In fact, God said this. Okay, let's go. When do you now come back and say, excuse me, sir? What's the They have served me the breakfast. If you don't know what it means to be served breakfast, may you not know it in Jesus' name. What are you condoning? What are you condoning? The woman was condemned, but the other party was condoned. It's not forgiven. No. They condoned because that guy, he will go and do it again. Because nobody caught him in the very act and took him for publicly. They just condoned it. What are you condoning? I've noticed that sometimes accusers are not accusers everywhere. It's to people. You will find that somebody else did something worse and they didn't say anything about it. They didn't. They will just say, he didn't know better. I didn't know better. But if they stoned me that day, I'm dead by now. But I didn't know better. No. He knows. He's just acting. So what I'm saying this morning is that many times people are selective in their criticism. And even you are selective. And that's human to expect that. But I'm trying to tell you that that's one of the more reasons why you should be careful to ask yourself, what am I saying? And what I'm saying now, as he placed me in the seat of the accuser. My response to this sin, what am I saying? As he placed me in the seat of the accuser. Condemnation is what the devil still does. And don't ever fix yourself in that seat. And there's a person in this scripture that I think all of us need to look like. And that is Jesus. Jesus is the acquitter of people. Jesus does not condemn. Jesus does not condone. But Jesus gives people another chance. The Bible speaking in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24. And verse 16, the Bible says, for a righteous man may fall seven times and what? Rise again. Jesus understood this, that the fall of a man, is he staying now? What's the finishing part? The fall of a man, elders, it's not the end of the man, okay. Is he saying it's not a scripture or something, but there's some value in that. Are fallen, or they are fallen, give them another chance. You know, there is a culture that I see today, especially when it comes to clergy, when it comes to church. If they fall, you will not give them a chance again. Am I supporting fall? Of course not. I'm going to get there in a few minutes. But if they fall, let's give them another chance. I've had pastors who have had moral failures. And that was the end of their ministry. That's not Jesus of the Bible. And the people that didn't give them a second chance, they have used many chances. they are on their 10th chance now on the same matter, and they can't give a pastor one chance. I mean, I heard the story of one pastor. They saw things happen. They said the things happened many years ago, and that they now found out now. And when it even happened, he said it really didn't happen, but he kind of owned up one way. He asked for forgiveness, but they said they now found out now. And then stripped the guy of his role as a pastor. And not only stripped the role, every trace of that guy, he had books that he had written, they wiped it. They wanted to wipe memory and erase history. That's not God. And some of us, we do it even not necessarily in church. Somebody did something, and one action erased every other action. Sir, let me tell you the truth. Not all days are equal. I may have a bad day, I may do a bad thing, but don't let one action erase every other action. Well, what about all the other days that I behave like a normal human being? Just this one day, give me one chance. That's what Jesus did here. Jesus understood that the righteous can fall 7 times, but if you can let them rise up again, their rise up will be bigger than their fall down. Are you behaving like Jesus? Some of you to your father, some of you to your mother. They did this to me, I will never. Calm down. You are just how old now? Live enough. You will now find out that we are all like somehow. God is just helping us. Remember, is good. Something happened. I was so angry. I was very angry. I said, I will never. My grandmother now called me. I said, no. But the Bible says, I'm sure she was like, well, how much Bible do you know? How old are you? This is the wife of the founder. I mean, these are people that they started church. Me, that I've not started anything. Just getting angry like. She now sat me down. She now told me a story. It's a long story, but I won't say that. The summary of the story is this. Because it was a story about somebody accusing God that God is too lenient. Some people are just misbehaving. He's not judging. God now said, okay, be a judge. And the guy now judged. When the guy finished judging, God now told him the backstories of all the things. He now found out that all his judgment were skewed because he didn't know the full story. So that means that the silence of God was not that God didn't know what to do. It's that God knew too much. That even some actions were not all the action. There were things that sponsored the action. When she told me that story, I'm sure she was trying to tell me that there's more to what you don't know than what you know. So because you are limited in understanding, calm down. I got the message. And I'm saying to somebody listening to me today, you are very angry with your wife. Calm down. Calm down. Be like Jesus. Give another chance. Hey, she has been doing it forever. Hey, maybe this one more chance will give her a chance. And there is something about giving mercy. You will also receive mercy. Mercy can be so, no? Mercy can be so. You will receive mercy with judgment without mercy. He that has not shown mercy. So show mercy to people. Give people mercy. Give people mercy. So Jesus is the acquitter. He's the one that says, go. Don't sin again. Jesus is the one that empowers. He's the one that wants you to feel sin. Do you know Jesus is the one that should be angry most at sin? Jesus is the one. One, he was not born with sin. Two, he was going to go and die for sin. If it is some of us that are going to die for sin, every time people sin, you say, you see, come here. You're coconut head. Do you know how costly it was for me to shed this blood? You now just be sinning anyhow. You see. And you now see, you say, holy hand. Come, I will knock your head down. That's how some of us be. Even me as a father, sometimes. I'm a human being now. When my children, you know, somebody was doing something. They had not called me. They had not seen me. And they now started calling me and say, can I? I said, you didn't know I was here before. It's now that you need something that you remember I'm here. Well, I also pretend as if you're not there. I give you equal measure. You ignore me for several days. I will ignore this one for several days. That's human being for you. But thanks be to Jesus that Jesus is not you. Jesus is not me. Is somebody excited about that? Can you give him praise in the house this morning? Glory to Jesus. So Jesus in the story does not write people off. Don't write people off. Don't write people off. I was telling some people that I watched The Godfather again. And one of the things they said there, it's not as, sometimes when you hear some of these things, you just pick the meat and leave the bone, because sometimes they say things as if it's scripture and it's not. I was like, keep your enemies close. What me I just took from that is don't write people off. Because that keep your enemies close that they were talking about is that keep them close so that you can kill them. Because that was what they were doing. But I got something from there. Don't write people off. Don't write people off. There are some people that you are behavior. See, this is my academy. Sir. That's your helper of destiny. Do you know in life, we don't get to choose who God uses? We don't get to choose. Did you get to choose your parents? You don't get to choose. Some of you think you got to choose your spouse, but sometimes that choice was sponsored. That choice was doctored. Huh? Okay, let's say you chose that one. But there are many things you didn't choose. And God chose that for you. And maybe the person that you have said, this person. No. Every other person but this person. Maybe that's the help. So, give people another chance. Be like Jesus. All right, let me bring this together this morning. Because this passage is about a passage of dealing with sin. Because we sang that song, we say, only Yeshua will reign forever. Do you know that name Yeshua, that name Jesus, means he will save his people from their sin. Jesus still saves from sin. Jesus does not just save from nothing. Because the way some people look at salvation, he saves from sin. Meaning he takes you away from sin and sin away from you. Jesus saves. So when we come to Jesus, among other things, or primarily among what he does, is that he saves us from sin. So when we are seeing sin, we should not ignore it. And let me say this to you. If you are a child of God, you need to progressively look like Jesus. If you are not doing that, I have a question about this, your child of God thing. I must see you today, and I must see what Jesus has done to you today that we didn't see yesterday. It needs to get better. The path of the righteous is like a shining light. It gets better and better unto a perfect day. So dealing with sin is something, is an answer you need to give this morning. What do you say to this sin? What do you say to this lie? What do you say to this fornication? If you are not married to her, is fornication or adultery? Can somebody say amen? What if I'm going to marry her? Is fornication. If you have not married, you have not married. And some people say, hey, you know it's very hard. You know, the other day I was thinking to myself. I said, even the law has limits. Has a time to do something, the law. I mean, have you not seen 14-year-old children that are taller than this? My son is not even year 15 now. He's almost taller than me. But the law does not use height to give driver's license. Can somebody say amen? I'm so happy we are there now, because with this AI now, we soon get and say, well, there's an algorithm now. We'll figure out the age where you can drive. Well, hope we'll not get there. But even the law right now, we'll say there's a driving age, right? The law has a time you can even consume alcohol. Is that right? The law has a time that there are many things that have age to it. Equally so, God's word has a time when if you say you want a woman or a man, he has a confine, there is a definition, there is a jurisdiction. If you are not within that jurisdiction, sir, leave it alone. What do you say? And it's not everything you say with words, though. Some is action. There are many of you, what you are saying to sin is, I'm an accuser. What you are saying to this sin is, I am a condoner. So what do you say to sin? Or dealing with sin. Let me walk through some things with you about dealing with sin. Dealing with sin, you can stand in the condemnation aisle. I mean, I've been saying some few things about that already. That means you are unsaved and you don't care about it. You just sit down there. That's one way some people have dealt with sin. It's what sinful nature does. And it's one thing for you to let it happen to you, is for you to let it happen to others. We must get out of that. All right. Another thing people do with sin is that they condone it. The condoning lane. They condone it. The Bible speaking in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. If you also cover the sin of other people, you will not prosper. Do not join other people to commit evil. Don't. But I'm not the one doing it. But you are engaging and enabling the other people doing it. And sometimes you are not even helping them. Pastor, would I not look like I'm judging them? No. You are helping them. And sometimes when you want to help, you may first look like you are not their friend. But I am better off that I help you and you think I am not your friend and then later find out that I helped you than I should keep quiet and make you get destroyed. I'm praying for you this morning because I know many of you may be in this category, that God will not require the sins of others from you in Jesus' name. There are some of us, our hands are soaked in blood, not because of what we did, but what we allowed. What we permitted, what we condone. What happens to sin, or how do you deal with sin? The best thing that needs to start to happen to sin, and as I'm speaking to you, I'm praying that God is making that happen, is conviction. The Bible said in that story that we read this morning, that when Jesus gave that proposition and said, if you are without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible said, they were convicted in their heart. And I'm praying that that's what's happening this morning. I hope somebody is not thinking, don't throw this message away, even if I'm speaking to you. Don't throw it away. Be convicted. Don't excuse yourself. Be convicted. Don't say it's for another person because it's messages like people say, somebody I wish was here. He's not here. You are here. And I'm talking to you too. Because you are wishing somebody. I'm talking to you. Be convicted. Because all of us can still be convicted. All of us can still be convicted. Even me that I'm speaking to you, I can still be convicted. And I am being convicted. Because there are things, postures that even I may need to work on. Every time you come to the church, allow the word to enter into you. It is for you. The word is for you. Jesus spoke to them. And I like what Jesus did. Jesus gave them time to reflect on it. He was not rushing the matter. Just started writing on the floor. And letting it sink in. You who is without sin, cast the first stone. And immediately Jesus said it, he continued to write on the floor. Some people said he was writing their sins. Maybe. Some, you know, maybe he was writing the sin of the lady. Maybe. Or maybe he was showing that I have power over this thing called sin. He was convicting them. And let me say to you, God is convicting some of us right now already. One of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of conviction. In John chapter 16 verse 8, John 16 verse 8, the Bible says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will convict the world of sin. You should be concerned if you are not being convicted of sin. You should be concerned if you don't feel bad when you do bad. Something is wrong. The Bible talks of people who have seared their conscience with hot iron. Why? How do you sear your conscience? Perpetual disobedience. Rebellious. There are people listening to me today. I am talking to you. You are doing something Jesus does not like. If you live here and continue like that, one day you will not, these things will not matter again. You will not even change. In fact, that's the part that breaks my own heart. That somebody is doing what Jesus does not like, and he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I love you. And Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandment. And the thing may not be what the other person is doing, because sometimes the reason some people don't want to be convicted is that, but I'm not doing what this other person is doing. Who told you that they are the standard? But pastor, it's about adultery. I don't commit adultery. Okay, thank you God for your life. But you are still lying, sir. And you are still getting angry like the devil. What about that one? That one is in our family now. That's how we do. Excuse me, you have changed family now. Are you no longer with Jesus? Are you not in Zion? Have you not come to this Jesus? And when you came to him, he wants to take even that anger, that family trait. Be convicted though. Don't be in a hurry to leave this matter. Because freedom is not freedom if we are still in sin. Jubilee is fake if sin is not dealt with. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. Let's read that. Galatians 5 verse 1. Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is still convicting today. And be convicted, sir. Don't let sin leave you any. Don't let sin not make you feel sorry. Don't let sin not. Don't get away from it. No! Let the Holy Spirit tell you that. No, you don't. Shall we continue in sin and expect grace to abound? God forbid. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For it was for freedom that Christ set us free. It was for freedom. The reason is, stand fast therefore in the liberty, the jubilee, by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. There was a reason Christ set us free. And many people are still entangled with the yoke of bondage. The bondage of sin. And this morning he's saying to you, be convicted. What does that mean? Let the Holy Spirit tell you that what pastor is saying is concerning you. Believe it and say, I know that this is talking to me. And we can do something about it. I'm not going to explain it away. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to cover it. I'm not going to condone it. I'm not going to say, since pastor did not mention my name and put my last name on it, I will not say it's not me he's talking to. I'm not going to say they don't even know about it. I'm not going to say they don't think I'm the one. I think I probably have told this story here before. This is several years ago. Before I met Jesus. In my high school, it was a boarding house. One night, I slept before everybody slept. But I woke up in the night. I went to do something that is not good. In the day, when everybody woke up, I was still sleeping. Because I came back to sleep again. And then they caught everybody. You know, in Nigeria, let me just use one Nigerian slang. Please pardon me. It just means they caught us. People just came. They said, Yawa don't gas. Meaning that they have caught you. And that they mentioned my name. And people were like, no, go and defend yourself. We saw you. You are sleeping. Because what I did was that I slept with my own clothes when I was going to do this bad thing. And the bad thing was that we went to girls' hostel and we're looking at people sleeping and hoping that we even go and wake some people up and, you know, just stupid nonsense teenagers runs those days. Because sometimes I'm like, why struggle to go and do all of that kind of stuff? If you go and, this is dangerous territory. And this is a military school. They can even shoot and think you're a thief. In the night, what sin can do and the devil does not exist. Oh my. So I was lying down and I had woken up and I was like, go and defend yourself. I'll go. But I knew what I had done. But nobody knew. Until I owned up, nobody knew. Because the girl I wanted to even see, she didn't see me. Oh, I didn't see. I didn't see her. And that was my first day of going. You know, some of us, if you are like me, don't leave this sin thing alone, though, because it's not for you. The day you go and do your own, they'll catch you. Everybody have been going. Me, I just, one day. I'm like, one day I had to tell God, I said, can somebody not just sin by themselves? Which one be? I said, I don't want. Let me just do my own. He said, no, you, I've taken you. But because they didn't know, did not mean that I was not guilty. There are some of you are here. They don't know. My wife does not know. My son does not know. My boss does not know. Pastor does not know. Are you living for us? You think you are living for me? Because you are serving in one department? Because you are a minister? You think it's me? I'm not going to be the one sitting. The day we meet that judge, when we get me, I will be a person too to be judged like you. I will be standing there. I will also be standing to receive my reward like you. So all of us are going to stand before God because we are going to do that. Don't entangle yourself in the yoke of sin again. This morning, God is saying to you, I'm speaking to you. We need to do something about this. You need to give a response. The fact that people don't know is not, no. Don't cover it. In fact, when people don't know, let them know. Because one of the ways to deal with sin is to uncover it. Open it up. Don't keep it. Don't say it's my habit. Don't say it's my secret. Don't open it up. Open it up to God.
And many times, open it up to men.
Find somebody. Find somebody. I told you one time I was struggling with pornography. One day, and I started having a disciples then. Mentee. I was not God. I'm very, very sorry. I'm very sorry. I God said, okay, you are sorry. Now tell your mentee that this happened. I'm sorry, but my reputation. God, before you have seen, oh God. Because they have heard. Tell them. The way to deal with sin many times is not to cover it. When you are convicted, uncover it. Even if it looks like they will kill you. You are struggling with something. Tell your wife now. Tell. Remove this pin code or passcode that nobody knows. Tell. Because some of us, if somebody else picks our phone like this, what will 10 will start? Say, what are you looking for? You will find what you are not looking for. Maybe they will also find what they are looking for. Uncover it. Don't cover it. Some of you, after this meeting, you should schedule an appointment and say, Pastor, I need to see you. You don't know this, but I need to say it. If I say it to Pastor, he will preach about it. Who told you that? If you know what we know, it's don't ask, don't tell. We know what we know. The way I see Pastor talking, he will be very brutal. Maybe brutal so that your life will be better. But not brutal so that your life will be bitter. And maybe it won't be brutal. But who cares about brutality when we get it fixed? Because you see, when we begin to talk about sin, people don't know that there are things you can pass down. Sin is one of them. Iniquity. And me, one of the things I woke up with this morning was like, God, what is the advantage of going ahead of people when your going ahead won't give them an advantage? What is the advantage of being the father of a person when your being their father will not give them an advantage? When it will be a bondage to them, when what you have done will now be something that will be a yoke on them. Do you know some people that are getting angry today? It was a passed down trait. Do you pass down those kind of things? Absolutely. Believe it. Because sometimes when people perpetuate sin, most of the time, what happens is that the spirit of iniquity, there's something that the Bible calls the mystery of iniquity. There is a spirit that will now supervise that thing, that will now be sponsoring that thing in future generations to come. And blessed be God that one day one person will say, it stops with me. This one that men behave like their dogs, it stops with me. This one that ladies just are, they talk anyhow, sassy, talking, angry, it stops with me. Hey, we are very strong. Well, excuse me. Strength. There was something I saw this last time that I went to Nigeria. In a meeting, you could see that Pastor Adeboye didn't like what happened. But when I saw his response, I said, there are strong people who know how to manage their strength. And strength is useless when you don't know how to manage it. You are Samson, you will die with strength. But if you know how to bring power under control, then you are really powerful. If you know how to put brakes on your power, then you are really powerful. When I saw it, I said, Kabali manana. That was, I know what he preached that day, but that was another message to me. His response. Look at what Jesus did in this story. Jesus knew everybody, including people that didn't show their face, including the man they didn't bring. And in fact, they just didn't bring him to Jesus, but that man too was there. Hello? The man was there. The man was there. In fact, some people believe the man spoke too. Because the man thinks she's doing with everybody. This woman, she's not exclusive to me. So let's kill her. Jesus is convicting you now.
Don't go back the same way. Do something about sin. Give a response. What do you say? I will uncover this. I will open this up. I will say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And sometimes I'll go and tell human beings too, I'm sorry. I'll go and tell people I'm sorry. I will own up. I will own up. I will not pretend. I will not make excuse. I will just own up and say, I have sinned like you have said. Did you see the way the woman did? She didn't explain, no. If it is some of us, they will say, Jesus, I can explain. Excuse me, sir. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. It is because I know people are already saying it is because. Pastor, he is talking like that. You don't know how my childhood was. You don't know how things were. You don't know how I was molested. You don't know. It's an excuse. Don't rest on it. Uncover it. For every reason you have to continue in sin, there is a power bigger than that reason to make you stop that sin. So what do you do with sin? You get convicted. You bring it to Jesus. You let him rid you of it. You let him rid you of it. If it is your first time that you have not received his life, you receive his life. Now, if you are a child of God and you fall into error, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, meaning you own up to it and forsake them, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. What do we do with sin? Don't stand in the place of condemnation. Don't condemn others necessarily. Don't be standing condemnation of your own sin too. Don't condone it. Don't excuse it away. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. And finally this morning, and that's the freedom you should take with you. Control it. Tame it. Stop it. Kill it. End it. Go and sin no more. There's power to control it. When Jesus is the one you are dealing with, he will save his people. That word save is not just a very casual word. He will deliver. He will yank them out. It's a powerful thing. He comes to do it with power. He has power to control. You can control it. Sin does not have to have dominion over you. It is a lie from the pit of hell. I have seen transformation before. I have seen people who, they were once this, and they are now this. There is power in God. There is freedom over sin. What do you say? You can say, by the grace of God, by the help of God, I will control this. It won't bring me down. I won't do what everybody does. The fact that everybody does it does not mean I will have to do it. I can stand alone. I can stand out. I can be that man that does not touch another woman that is not my wife. Whether I am using words to do it. I've heard some statements in this church. People use words they should not be using. I have heard it too. So I'm telling you now publicly, stop. What do you do about sin? What do you say? Control it. With the Spirit of God inside of you, you can. You know, the devil is a stupid. I keep saying stupid, but I will now say, well, he's a wicked devil. But sometimes it's both. It sells a lie to you. I said, but you know, I know you are listening to Pastor E now. He's making you laugh small and he's trying to score a point. Forget that thing, Joe. Nobody. We are men. Body no be firewood. I know what I meant by that. So to my that language speakers, is that, you know, my body is, there's blood that flows in me, so I feel things. So I can excuse myself. It's a lie. There is power to control. I'm going to read this scripture. Titus chapter 2. I think it's verse 9. It's not in my notes, but I believe it's Titus 2:9. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, actually, it's Titus 2:11-12. What do I do about sin? there is power to control it. There is power to tame it. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation. You see that? The grace of God brought salvation. As appeared to all men. That means Jesus, right? Appeared to all men. What did he do? Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Are you hearing me this morning? If you are listening to me this morning, the grace that brought salvation is a grace that teaches. And that is the grace I am telling you about this morning. And that grace teaches us and gives us empowerment to deny, to say no. There's a translation that says, there is a grace that teaches us to say no. There is a grace that teaches us to say no. I can say no if I had said yes to pornography before. I can say no if I said yes to fornication before. I can say no if I said yes to lying before. I can say no to that thing that God is convicting me of this morning. I can say no to it. Do you know that there are some things that should not even be heard that some of us that call ourselves children of God are doing? There are some things that should not be heard. Like, I cannot understand how you can be a child of God and beat your wife. I don't know. She said, Sky, come on now. Not even in America. And it's happening though. I'm not, everything I say this morning, I'm saying to people that I know are here. So you know, I know. But you have not told me, sir. I'm not telling you. Teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live what? Self-controlled. The greatest strength of any man will be to be able to put restraint. Any power without restraint is dangerous power. Anybody who is driving a fast car and that car cannot be stopped, that person is in danger. And God is saying this morning, there is power to say no. When it comes to sin, you have power to control it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible talked about the fact that there is a spirit in you and I. The same spirit that rose up Jesus Christ. He said that spirit can quicken your mortal body. What does that mean? It means that spirit can give your body, your flesh, the life that is in your spirit. That means your flesh can behave like your spirit. Your body can behave like your spirit. You can present your body a living temple to God. A place where God will dwell in your body. Remember that God wants to live in your spirit, but he can also dwell in your body. You can present your body as a living sacrifice. Is it possible? First of all, believe it is possible. Don't excuse yourself. This message, go and listen to it again. It's not the shouting one, right? But go and listen to it again. Don't excuse yourself. It is possible. I won't bring shame to Jesus' name. I won't bring shame to my family. Because there are some directions some of us are going. Sooner or later, shame will come. Because he that is often rebuked and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly come to destruction. That without repeat. I believe God sent me to give this message because it may be last warning for somebody and say, you are going too far. And this far, you will be public very soon. And God is saying, there's power to say no. There's power to say no. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Romans 6, 14 and 15. It says, for sin shall no longer be your master. Sin is your master if sin is the one dictating to you. Your body is the one that tells you how high you can fly. Your body is the one that tells you. See, my eyes is not the one that tells me what to look. I determine what to look. I can say no. Do you know if I want to look at the screen, which I'm looking at now, my eyes cannot force me to look to tribe. I decide that. And I believe that this morning that I have the power to say no. Especially when I have the Holy Spirit. You know why it's called the Holy Spirit? It's the spirit that makes you holy. It's not just a talking spirit to whisper into your ears, give you goosebumps, because that's what some of us wanted to give us. And he might do that. But he also wants to keep you holy. That he may present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He wants to present to his church a spotless bride. A bride that does not flow liquid sin. That does not say grace covers it. Did you not read that grace teaches us to say no? Grace does not teach us to say yes to sin. No. Oh, but pastor, I thought that Jesus has forgiven all our sin, present and past. Yes, he has given potential and provision for it. But you can still live in that bondage if you don't allow what he has made available to be activated. And so this morning I'm saying to you, sin shall no longer be your master. Because you are not under the law. It was under the law that they couldn't do anything about it. Now we have a supervising spirit that is ever present. A one that sticketh closer than a brother. That can help you, sir. Some of us that are holding mic today, we are not holding mic because we are better than anybody. But we have been helped, sir. Oh, I've seen his help. I have seen his help. I have seen him help me when my own humanity could not help me. But because I knew that there is a provision in God for help, and I cried for help, he helped me. I didn't excuse myself and say, well, it's kisera sera, what's going to be is going to be. No, what's going to be longer, man. No, I need help, sir. I need help with this habit. I need help with this thing. Everybody listening to me, this thing concerns us, including me. We need help. Sin shall no longer have dominion over us. The freedom God is asking for and wants to make available this morning is freedom over sin, especially secret sins. I would have made an altar call, but I don't want you to be self-conscious. But everybody needs to. All of us need to come to the altar this morning. We will not do it physically, but we'll come to the altar of God in our heart. Give me verse 15 of that Romans chapter 6 as I wrap it up there. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? You know, this, like, God knew that the people would be challenging all these things. But look at the question here. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He said, by no means. I like King James. He said, God forbid. In some African places, they do like this. Yeah, maybe we dodge it. No. Can we continue sin? Because we are not. Pastor E, you just came like an Old Testament preacher today. No, I'm reading New Testament to you. And God is saying, we can come to him. Jesus wants to say to you this morning, go and say no more. That's what he asked me to come and say. Go and say no more. It's time to stop it. It's time to stop it. We can't come. How long will you be a baby? It's time to stop it. This anger, it's time to stop it. This moral issue, it's time to stop it. It's the behavioral modification. There is nobody that deals with God on their own terms. They deal with him on his own terms. And whenever they come to him, he usually will take one thing or the other away. Even when Isaiah had been dealing with God and talking to God, by the time Isaiah got to Isaiah chapter 6, he said, when I saw the Lord in his glory, they didn't tell me. It was me that said, excuse me, sir, I am unclean. Do something about this uncleanliness. That's what you want to ask God. Do something about this uncleanliness. Do something about it. Let's all of us stand up as a mark that I identify. That I identify with this one. What do you say? They were asking Jesus, but Jesus has turned the question back to you. What do you say? I have the power to control sin. That's what I say. That's what my actions will say from this place. Will you ask him to come into you? Will you ask for his help? Will you ask for forgiveness and say, I'm sorry that I spoke that word. I'm sorry I acted like that. I'm sorry nobody knows about it, but you know about it. And I'm asking that you pardon. Give me another chance like you have given before. Everybody should be talking to Jesus now. I need your help. I want to stand with you. And I want you to be glorified more and more. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. I'll sing this song, I'll pray. But don't let this message stop here. Your response is not only here. Some of you need to get to a human being and talk to them. If you don't do something different, you won't really do something different. If you just let this be another sermon and just go back home, one day we'll come back again and be saying this, and maybe you may not be here at that time. God is giving this warning so that this can be fixed. So if there's that issue, that thing that you are covering, open it up to Jesus. You have already done that here. But find a Jesus person. It doesn't have to be me, but somebody that can hold you. And say, are we still doing that thing? You say, no. Jesus has taken care of it. That's how you start to deal with this thing. On to Jesus.